The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. 150 is Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Someone did ask me what channel number we were on Sirius yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had a moment where I was like, oh my God, Gil says this every single day. I know this. I remember
it. I actually don't say it every day. I say it once in a blue moon.
I got it eventually, but yeah. I was like, I blanked for a second. I was like, this isn't good.
Oh, I say 158 every day. Yes. I thought you meant you were about to say 150 Izzle or something like that.
Man, I'm like, I kind of wonder sometimes why people need the exact channel number, because I feel like when you cycle through, at least for me, when I cycle through Sirius, it's just the channel names. Like, I'm not really getting numbers. So someone did drop the question on me, like, hey, what number are you guys?
Oh, you got to know the number.
Yeah.
You gots to know it. It's a gots to know situation.
I recovered.
Good. Glad you're here. Glad you made it. Nice shirt, by the way. Is that
Thanks,
new?
Man. Huh? No, okay. Very old, actually.
You having trouble that all your shirts are bigger than your size now?
Oh, my God. This one I'm wearing right now is massive.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. All right. You're swallowing it.
I hope there's not a strong wind. It might blow away.
On the show today. Well, listen here, folks. This is a Wednesday. Now, I know on Wednesdays you're like, well, Steve Fezzik's not going to show up today, but yet he is. Because his schedule is different summertime. So we're having him Wednesday this week, Wednesday next week. After that, I don't know. We'll see. But Steve Fezzik, usually the author of Fezzik Fridays, here today in hour number two to talk about all things on his mind. And he's got a bunch of stuff he wants to talk about. Plus, he's got bets in multiple sports. We'll talk about all of those things. Kelly, with a few words on the Charles Schwab Challenge. You were telling me yesterday, you don't have much on this, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit lighter bet event, okay. But yeah, I still got some in.
Jason Weingarten under a cloud of smoke. We'll talk to him. He loves the idea of flag football in the Olympics. I don't know what his problem is, but he loves it. JVT, our NBA senior analyst, co-host of Money Moves. He'll be with us to talk National Basketball Association as the conference finals began last night with a, what's the opposite of a bang? A whimper?
Yeah, a whimper.
A whimper. Will Hill with all his bets, MLB, NBA, and more. And let us begin. Before we get into last night's game, can we just talk about this, that we have not, as of this moment, and Kelly is frantically searching the old Twitter right now, but as of this moment, we do not have a vote on the Tush Push yet. We do not have one. It may yet get banned, but we don't know that yet. The Detroit Lions did pull off the table their proposal for new and different seating in the NFL. Apparently they decided this probably won't go through, or I don't know what they made a sort of assessment of their chances of this success. I don't know why the Lions were so intent on having seeding changed in the NFL playoffs, but that one is tabled till after this season. So that one goes by the wayside for now. But as far as the Tush Push, we do not know. I also just want to say one thing about the Tush Push again, Kelly, because I feel like this is getting lost. And it bothers me when I keep hearing the same thing over and over again. The too cool for school thing to say about the Tush Push, right, is, oh, man, if you don't like it, you got to stop it. Right. That's everybody's thing.
Yeah.
OK, listen. Yes, there is some validity to that. Yes, that this thing is allowed. Good on the Philadelphia Eagles and to the Buffalo Bills to some extent. But good on the Eagles for using it to such great success. But I don't want to diminish the counter argument as, you know, not having some gravitas to it, because there is something to it. One, they talk about player safety. Now, I agree with you for the people who are on the Eagles side of things who are like, hey, we figured out something that we do better than everybody else. Too bad for everybody else. The counter arguments are player safety. Now, I admit there is not a bunch of data to support.
I mean, that's the thing.
There is that is not a good counter argument.
Right.
Opinion.
Yeah.
OK. But there are a couple other arguments. One is, and this is a little better to me, but also kind of flimsy, which is it is aesthetically unpleasing / it is not a football play / it doesn't require football skill. Mm. It's a rugby play. That's argument two, which is also kind of, you know, subjective.
Right.
The third argument to me is the one that actually does hold water. And people who are in the, oh, if you don't like it, just stop it camp. You have to use that voice, by the way, when you say it. They casually don't mention this one. which is that defensive players are not allowed to push other defensive players into the line. But on the tush push, the offense is, oh, yeah, sure, push anybody you want. That is a competitive imbalance that the folks who want this banned ought to be stressing more than the other stuff. That is a legitimate argument to
me. Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with that. Just to clean a couple things up of where we are at. So Scheffler did tweet a couple hours ago, vote expected today.
And we thought tomorrow. We thought yesterday at first. Yeah,
we thought yesterday, expected today. To enact the ban, of course, in the 24 of the 32 NFL teams. I also see that we have Jason Kelce in attendance for this. I swear, this is like becoming a thing, like to represent the tush push.
So Jason Kelce wants everybody to know he's there.
And this is incredible. Jason Kelce is there to fight for the tush push, apparently. That is from Tom Pelissero.
It's like the Westgate president who used to work for gaming showing up at my hearing. Just to let you know, I'm here.
It's bizarre. Okay, so to follow up, I agree with you on the pushing thing, okay? I also thought...
Yeah.
Caught Dan Orlovsky talking about this yesterday, and I was kicking around with Danny Higgins, our great associate producer back there before the show. We were talking a little bit about this. Them changing the language of the rule actually has me more concerned. Like, I wish they would have just kept it to the tush push.
Oh, what you're referring to, what Kelly's referring to, is the Packers yesterday, it was reported, changed the wording. They said not just from the beginning of the snap, mm-hmm. at any point in the play. And what was the other change they made? They eliminated some language.
Well, you
also.
Can't. I mean, just you cannot be pushing a ball carrier at any time. Sorry, so Orlovsky brought up a great highlight example of how this could really be changing a lot more of the game than we realize. And he had brought up like an Adrian Peterson run from back in the day, right? Burst through at like the 20-yard line. Burst through. He's going into the end zone. Gets held up at like the 5-yard line, right? First guy hits him on the defense. Another defender comes over. Well, what do we see? We see the offensive linemen come and push Peterson into the end zone.
Yes, we do.
So if you don't allow that anymore, what's going to happen is the defenders are going to be able to just hack at the ball all day long. So, like, he pointed this out, and I was like, wait, this is a great point. Like, this could completely change the game in an unintended consequence.
That's a great point, too. I the more I heard about, you know, folks just going into this lazy bottom of the barrel, lowest common denominator counter. Oh, if you don't like it, stop. It's like, okay, let's be objective about this, right? I think you're right. I think the pro tush push folks are right about certain things, but the anti are right about the whole thing about you can't push on defense. Separate from your point, they can't. They're not allowed to do that. And if you can't offensively, that is a bit of an imbalance. By the way, a lot of people are going to dismiss the aesthetically pleasing, it's not a football skill part of things as being subjective. There is kind of something to that to me, too. Like, at some point, it's not that fun to watch. Like, would you rather watch someone throwing the ball 80 yards downfield or on a short yardage play, like showing just, you know, speed around the corner, that kind of thing, rather than a rugby scrum? So anyway, we'll see how that goes. Not to belabor that anymore, but that was stuck in my craw this morning.
Well, the other part about this, and I should know the answer before I bring this up, but like, are we talking about enacting this for this year? Like, this is now a very quick turnaround for a team like the Philadelphia Eagles that utilizes this in their offense.
Eagles were downplaying it yesterday. They're like, whatever happens. They were saying that publicly.
I mean, and I think there is a betting translation to this, right? Like, if you're looking at Saquon Barkley's, you know, season-long touchdown props, like, okay, now the over's got a little bit more to it, right? Because you're not going to be getting as many sneaks at the goal line and stuff like that. It's going to be a straight handoff to Saquon.
100%. And maybe you don't think the Eagles will be as successful at short yardage. Maybe that has a macro impact for you on Eagles bets or thoughts on Eagles bets moving forward. The NBA conference finals began last night out west. OKC takes down the Minnesota Timberwolves on the strength of a 70-40 second half, outscored the T-Wolves 70-40 in the second half. They win it 114-88. That 26-point margin was the biggest margin of the game. It wasn't quite as big of a blowout as the final score will have you indicate, but certainly the second half was. T-Wolves actually jumped out to an 8-0 lead in the first 70 seconds of the game. They actually then led by 9, 47-38. What do we talk about, Kelly, with all these Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler end of round steals?
Yeah.
Somehow it was only 48-44 at halftime, though. Randle had 20. Julius Randle had 20 in the first half on 5 of 6 shooting from behind the arc, 6 of 8 overall. SGA was only had 11 points on 2 of 13 shooting from the field.
Defense and points off turnovers keep you in it, right?
T-Wolves had 10 three-point field goals made in the first half. Thunder only had 3 made. And then the third quarter happened, and OKC had themselves a 10-0 run that put them up 66-60 with 4:19 to go in the quarter. Then they extended it to 11 on the 17-2 run, that extended run. They led by 10 at the end of the third. Then it got to 14 with 7 minutes left. I don't know. There was a whole bunch, and it just kept going up and up. And OKC wins this going away. The total doesn't even come close to the total. We'll get to the contest implications of this with Fezzik later. Because I wasn't going to bet anything, and the total on the contest was 215. I'm like, well, I have to play the over on the contest.
That total got steamed, so I ended up betting it small, but I didn't play the under on the contest. I know I sat here yesterday talking up. I got scared off by the steam. It was getting steamed up all day long.
It sparks a whole nother conversation about bookmaking and how books could actually manipulate bettors. But that's a whole other subject. But anyway,
manipulated me pretty well.
Manipulated me in the contest. Absolutely. That's the whole point. And I just want to say this because we'll go to break here. But I didn't think OKC even played well, and they end up crushing them.
They didn't go. I mean, it is. OK, the Thunder now in this playoffs averaging 25.3 points off of turnovers, the most by any team in a postseason since 1997. They're forcing turnovers. They get out and run and score on you. They don't even have to play that well in the half court.
The T-Wolves from behind the arc, 15 of 51.
I mean, yeah, Thunder turned them into a crappy version of the Celtics.
The Celtics on their worst night. We'll come back. We'll discuss this more. Will Hill will join us, all his bets next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Wes Reynolds' Charles Schwab Challenge Best Bets, Greg Peterson's Major League Baseball Picks, and Zach Cohen's Pacers Knicks Game 1 Preview tonight. And later today, you can check out Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA Picks, Steve Mackinnon's MLB Analytics Report, and Jonathan Davis's NHL Best Bets. Right now, you can sign up for our annual subscription and get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book.
Why did we take the... I feel like... Did I ruin this live read? We've took all the slash out of it. I don't get to yell slashed anymore.
Oh, I don't think that's the same one. No, it's a different read.
It's kind of the price one, though.
Okay. That's true. Yes, that's why you come in every day? Just slash! So you can scream slash? Is that what you're doing?
I enjoy it.
I enjoy it, too. I'll tell you what, Kelly. We'll manufacture something for you. How about that?
I mean, I could just change the copy on the read.
I don't want you to not be entertained. I want you to be excited to come in every day. Fred Courier on Twitter. Sirius 158 locked in, he says. There you go. Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1, who's probably been a listener of ours since day one. He goes, yo, Gilly, longtime listener, first time caller here. Show's okay. Don't love it. I got a question for the Gilligan to your skipper, little buddy Kelly Bidlin. Country Club and K. Michael Bidlin, thoughts on Spieth as golf first round leader this week? I've done all I could do. I'll hang up and listen. That's a great tweet.
I like it. I went back to Spieth. I'll get to it later. One of the few bets I do have is a Jordan Spieth top 20 bet. Look, plays great at this course. Hard for me to argue a first round leader bet on him.
Yeah. Larry Brewer. I think pushing a player from behind should be eliminated, not just the quarterback sneak. Rob L, race weekend here in Indianapolis. Can we find a guest Friday morning to handicap there's the Weenie 500 as well as the Indianapolis 500. They have 5 Wiener mobiles that are racing around the iconic track. We'll have a guest for that that'll handicap that for us, Kelly.
We got Phil Bobbitt coming on tomorrow. Bobbitt will be on to talk a big race weekend. I think there's the Coca-Cola 600, Indy 500, F1, all kinds of stuff.
Well, the race to the Wiener Circle is Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, just so you know.
Well, hopefully he'll have some thoughts. Is this something they do every single year?
I don't know. I think it's brand new. JT, speed to burn. You're 100% correct on competitive advantage. They don't let offensive linemen hold or defensive backs hold receivers for that very reason. And it is boring as well, talking about the tush push. GV at New Jersey, New York. Regarding banning the tush push, the problem is that no one on the side of banning it is articulating the argument the way that you just did. They're focusing on player safety first and foremost over everything, which leads to everyone else just flat out believing it's a bad faith argument. 100% agree. 100% agree.
It sounds bad to say, but I almost wish the data backed up the injury point, because I think we can all, any rational mind, right, can say, well, this looks like a dangerous
point. Stop with the injury argument if you don't have the data.
The data's not there. Yeah.
Go with the one that makes the most sense, which is defense players don't get to do this. Why should they? Torch D, I'm sorry, but SGA and the Thunder are unwatchable. Oh, I wanted to talk about this next with Will. SGA is a free throw merchant and has perfected the art of flopping. I looked at the box score last night, and with 6:50 remaining in the first quarter, he had already shot 7 free throws. Meanwhile, the Thunder are allowed to totally mug people on defense. I'd rather watch the NHL than this crap, and I hope the ratings fall off a cliff. Torch D then adds, yeah, I got the Timberwolves 37-1 to win the West. So he's a little upset. Will Hill joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in Connecticut. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Not The Will Hill. He is the host of his own podcast called Shoulda Bet More, in addition to gracing both my presence at the Megapod and Chris Valica's presence with the Bear Bets podcast at Fox Sports. How you doing, man?
Gilly, Kelly, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Do you agree with the thanks for coming, by the way. Do you agree with the whole, like, so Ant and Randall, especially Ant, though, because Ant got chippy with SGA last night. They were laughing in the press conference when they looked at the box score, see how many free throws that SGA had yesterday. Do you agree with that sentiment, that he's a free throw merchant, as they have chanted in Minnesota in the past about him?
Oh, absolutely. But he's not the worst one. So whoever just wrote in that tweet, I would advise you not to watch the Knicks and Jalen Brunson tonight, because at least most of SGA's ones are like attempts at playing basketball, attempts at scoring, and he does. Look, if you're going to get your arms out, if you're going to be off balance at all, he's going to get you. And I think it's part of the game. It's part of the game I don't like. But, yeah, he's really good at exposing that. Now, some of the calls just were phantom calls yesterday. And I thought the refs gave him a couple that he didn't deserve for sure. But Brunson's worse. And I love Brunson. Brunson's a tremendous player. And we'll talk about that game, talk about that series. But, yeah, he's bad. Brunson's bad. There's a few of these guys that are just their whole mission in life is to get to the free throw lines.
SGA, 14 attempts last night. Nobody else in the game had more than 7. Though I will say, you know, for all the merchanting he was doing, whatever that's supposed to mean, I don't know why they went with that word. He was making some of those. So it's not like you could say anything afterwards. You're like, well, the ball went in.
Will's right. I'm not gonna sit here and say it's not a thing. It's also just like part of the game of basketball. And he's also 6'8" and long as hell. Yeah. Like, he can put himself in spots to get fouled. Other guys can't. He doesn't do what Brunson does and some of these guys where they hit the brakes.
What about the Pacers and the Knicks tonight? 4.5-point favorites. That's what the Knicks are, and and obviously a series favorite as well. What are you doing with game one? What are you doing with the series?
I did not play game one. I think this is a complete toss-up. I did bet Knicks in 7 plus 400. I think, again, the dead-even series. I just think, ultimately, Brunson at the end of these games, home court advantage in the Knicks. I just think with Mitchell Robinson back, there's a toughness. There's an offensive rebounding factor that I think ultimately gets them home. Remember, these teams played last year, and the Knicks were going to win that series. They were up 2-0 and had a decent lead in game 3. Couldn't close that game out. Game 4, they got blown out. I think that was on Mother's Day. And then game 7, by the time they hit game 7, they were just out of bodies, completely, you know, broken down at that point. And they were just, their whole team was injured and really run into the ground by Thibodeau. I think good series, long series, over 5.5 games. It's $1.70 at DraftKings. It's gone up a little bit. I still think that's a really good bet. I'd be shocked if this is 4. I'd be shocked if it's 5. To me, this is 2-2 after 4, 3-3 after 6. And we're looking at a game 7 that probably comes down to the wire. So I don't have any interest in laying points in this series in any of these games. I just think these games will be that close. But Knicks in 7 at plus 400, I think, is a good bet. I think you have a very good shot to get a game 7 if you're sitting there. With Knicks in 7 at plus 400, you can take the Pacers plus the points. You can let it ride. You can play something live. You figure out lots of different ways to maneuver that ticket. But I do think we're getting a 7th game. I think we're looking at a very good, long series. It's amazing looking back in the 90s. We always hear these teams played a lot, but I went through it year by year. I did it on my podcast. 3 times in the conference finals, bunch of times in the second round. The classic, Ewing misses the finger roll in game 7 of the second round. There was obviously the 8 points in 9 seconds with Reggie Miller. There are so many iconic moments. So I'm sure we'll see all of them here. And the fact that Reggie Miller is on this call is going to be, we're going to get constant reminders, but this should be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
By the way, before we get to your baseball plays, so one other thing about the T-Wolves and the Thunder, you never bought into the T-Wolves being live here, correct?
I was just surprised. I guess I'll put it this way. I was surprised that other people were surprised. I heard so much of, wow, this line is disrespectful to Minnesota. This line is too high. I didn't feel that way. I thought the price was justified. I picked OKC in six at plus 500. I thought that was a very optimistic outcome for Minnesota. Now, there are paths for Minnesota here. I didn't hear your open. I'll go back and listen to it, as I always do. They got a ton of good looks. They got a bunch of open threes. I think they had 21 corner three attempts. And they've got them from some decent shooters. So there's meat on the bone for Minnesota to win a game, maybe win two. But as far as winning this series, I mean, look, anything's possible. And we've seen upsets in these playoffs. But the idea that the price wasn't justified, I didn't buy that. To me, I think OKC is pretty likely to win the championship. I mean, that's not saying much, as they're minus 220. But I'd be really, really surprised, sitting here up 1-0 in the conference finals, if they don't win this series and win the next series. And I picked OKC in six. But if you told me that OKC's loss in game six to Denver was their final loss of the season, and they swept Minnesota and swept whoever comes out of the East, I don't think I would blink twice. I'll put it
that
way.
Wow. It's interesting because, boy, if it goes that way, the networks will not be happy with that. But I don't think that's the most outlandish comment I've ever heard. Let's put it that way.
Thunder up 1-0 right now. Their series price is basically what their series price was going into the Denver series.
Like I said, I don't even think they played well last night. I was like, you look up and they're up, you know, double digits again. Okay, to baseball. What did you play today? Full day of Major League Baseball on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I went first five under, Rays and Astros. Bradley going against Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown's outstanding. Bradley, the expected ERA is a good run in a quarter, better than the actual ERA. His stuff's really good. Walks too many guys, but to me, under 4.5 in the first five is good there. And then you can get some under five in Marlins, Cubs. That's another afternoon game. Both these are one Eastern starts. Cade Horton going against Max Meyer. Two guys with a ton of pedigree. Great stuff. I don't know if you remember this, but Cade Horton, he struck, I think, 14 guys in the College World Series against your Ole Miss team in the final that year. He's got really good stuff. Again, there's too many. It's not enough of a sample size in terms of the pros yet. He's only made two appearances, 10 innings, but he's got the strikeout stuff. He's got the pedigree. So under five, first five, Cubs, Marlins, and then under 4.5, Rays and the Astros, some early unders. And I did play under 2.5 in both first three innings too. That's one that's Steve Fezzik has introduced us to. That's an underrated market, those first three unders.
First threes, not everywhere, not available everywhere, but where it is, I have been playing them as well, even before Fezzik even mentioned
it. You don't have them in Vegas?
We don't have them in Vegas, do we? The first three innings? I don't believe we do. Not
maybe
that I'm
Caesar's
aware.
An MGM. I don't know.
Well, I'll have to dive deeper into that to find out. Will, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much.
All right. See you guys. Thanks,
Will Hill, everybody. At not the Will Hill. Two E's on the JVT in studio. NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. Check them out, sharpplays.com. We get tweets of beating the book. Just want to read a few of these. This is from Shrek McPhee. Any thoughts on cross-sport parlays coming up soon? Example, Scotty U.S. Open, Iga Roland Garros, 12-1. Boy. You know how much I love Iga, but it's tough right now. Now, if she won this, I would not be surprised, right? Because it's her surface, and she's won four of them, for God's sakes. But mental blocks are mental blocks. I don't know if I could bet that.
I mean, just overall thoughts on cross-sport parlays?
Oh, love them.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They can be profitable and great, but I just, you know, don't go crazy with it.
Well, some of these I've been hearing lately are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scuba, like, tying things into the football season?
Yes,
yeah, I
correct.
I don't know if I'd be doing that, or week one. Yeah.
Scuba Scott, shout out to Kelly for using two words that I learned for the first time during my six-year run of elected public service. Those are unintended consequences. I brought forward legislation that I thought would be great, and I got quickly voted down. Unintended consequences. That's your thing? Okay. Matthew Mayberry.
Say that about the Tush Push.
Absolutely hate watching these guys draw fouls. Will is spot on, though Brunson is by far the worst. He tries to make the refs think he got fouled more than score. Oh, more than trying to score, I guess these days. Almost every time he has the ball. It's just a lot of Jalen Brunson hate on the show this morning. You know who I think of was Trey Young, how he used to back up into players.
Yeah, that has been a rule that has now been established to stop that, although they haven't done a great job, I would say, of fully enforcing that.
But daring refs to call it. And then one more here. Scola. Did I just hear Kelly follow up the wiener races with a straight face Bobbitt reference, or was that not intentional?
Yeah, Phil Bobbitt. He's on the show tomorrow.
Phil. Oh, they thought you meant another Bobbitt. I think.
Phil Bobbitt is on the show tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the co-host of Money Moves, which follows us each and every day here on the network, Monday through Friday, along with Stormy Bonatoni. He's also our NBA senior handicapper, and he's kind enough to join us in studio at an ungodly hour. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I was out and about, so, you know, I decided I might as well just come to work. You know what I mean? Like, there's no point in going back home. The Angels are the hottest team in baseball, so everything's good.
And the Angels are the hottest team in baseball. That's right. Well,
quite literally. Yeah, right. Longest, five game winning streak tied with the Phillies.
Yeah. Then do you think this will amount to anything?
Absolutely not.
that's an appropriate follow up question and answer, I think. Okay. What about this? The whole free throw. Well, let me ask this first before we get into free throw merchanting stuff. Was there anything you saw last night that leads you to believe that the T-Wolves can make adjustments to get a different result moving forward?
I think there's a couple of things. You know, it's easy to say. But shoot the ball better would be like number one.
15 of 51 from behind the arc.
15 from 51. I think the more telling metric, though, is that ESPN Stats and Info had this. I believe they shot around 30% on open looks, right? A little bit less than that. So, again, you generated open looks. You just didn't get them. And it was a pretty good amount. I think it was floating around 20.
What was your stat, Kelly?
I think
Kelly?
It was 39 I saw. Okay. Wide open attempts that they had total.
Here we go. I got it right here. Yeah, you're right. 11 of 39 on open attempts. So, you know, you should be better than that on
make
those
shots
looks.
Is your advice.
I think they made it right. Well, I think they made a point on the broadcast and pointed out one time, and I don't know observationally if you guys saw this. It seemed like they had like six threes that like rattled out of the rim.
It was weird. Someone who had the over in the contest, I absolutely noticed that.
So it was so odd. So I think you could probably do that. But I do think they deserve some criticism. And I actually thought Tim Bontemps of ESPN made a great comp. This might ring well with you because you're a big Warriors guy. Go back to game one of that series against Golden State Warriors. Shots didn't really fall for Minnesota, but they also weren't really doing well within 4 feet of the basket. And the rest of that series, they killed Golden State, getting to the rim, getting points in the paint. In this game here, they only had 12 shots within 4 feet of the basket, according
That's
to Cleaning
insane.
The Glass.
That's incredible.
That's it.
Over
shots.
A full basketball game.
Like, you can't have that happen. Anthony Edwards, for some odd reason, maybe it was a tweak of the ankle or whatever it was, he was very passive. I think in the game, he only took 12 shot attempts. Mm-hmm. I think that's his lowest in the postseason, maybe even ever. And you're talking about a single game, but it's a very low number for him. So I think there's three clear adjustments that you can really make that would make you feel a little bit more confident. Because here's the thing, guys. OKC still wasn't really great on offense in that game. Much of their offense was supplemented by their transition offense through steals. If you look at Cleaning the Glasses,
which we know they can keep up, right? They can sustain this. This is what they do.
Right. Well, and Minnesota also turns it over, right?
Right.
Like that's the other part of the problem. It's one of the pieces of the equation that I brought up when we talked about it with Stormy, which was if you're going to lose this series, it's going to be supplementing the Thunder offense with these turnovers and easy runouts. They have over 50 points off turnovers in the last two games, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've been dominant in that regard, so you can't give them free possessions. And I think those are the easy adjustments to rate, right? Making open shots, not easy, because that's kind of random once it leaves your hand. But attacking the rim more, forcing the issue there, not turning the ball over as much and giving them opportunities, and being more aggressive, I think those things can help.
T-Wolves, once again, are going to be seven-and-a-half-point dogs for Game 2 tomorrow night. The total down to 214. And remember, it got steamed up. What did it end up? 219 and a half or something yesterday?
Yeah. I saw 219. 219 and a half. Wow.
I feel like I want to play the over.
Yeah.
Again.
So I'm with you. Like, I used the over in the contest and thought that that was a play. Obviously, I think we were getting a little too.
It was 215 and a half, and it ended up
219 and a half.
You had to play it.
It was almost you had to, right? But I would agree with you. I mean, look, I think this is going to be a series where it's going to be relatively quick. The Thunder are going to want to get up and down the floor. I think the Wolves are athletic enough that they can acquiesce and play to that pace. The Thunder are going to be able to score quick. As we talked about, the steals are going to be there for them, and they usually turn that into points. And the Timberwolves are a better shooting team than what we saw. So if you kind of get all of that coming together, I would assume that you're still, like, I would agree with what the market was. Now, all the way up to 219 and a half, right? Like, that's, you could probably quibble with that. But essentially going from what one original number was at the open, 213 and a half, and betting that up, I think it's a little bit closer to like 217, 217 and a half for the total here.
And if I know JVT, I'm going to guess here, if I know you, you have no issue with this supposed free throw merchanting thing that everybody's throwing around.
No, not to, I think you can, I think with anything, like, there is nuance, right? Like, can I point to like four or five like foul calls in that game? I was like, dude, guys, like, what are we doing? Absolutely. But I think a vast majority of the fouls that Shea draws is are legitimate. I think it's part of the game. I thought that there was a look, he plays the game differently, and so games are going to get called. I think you can quibble with some of the calls he gets. You could probably cut into it. But guess what? If you remove all of his free throws from the game yesterday, guess who still loses? The Timberwolves.
Wow.
So, like, it is an issue, but I do think, like, it's not as big as we make it out to be.
I didn't know Ant was harboring all this resentment, though. That was new to me last night.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he seems a little ticked off by it.
Yeah, well, I mean, push the issue, though, right? Like, again, it goes back to what we talked about, like, the beginning of that Warrior series. You're a better, more physical team. Ant didn't have, I don't think he had any, or I think he only had one attempt in the restricted area in that game.
Yep, one.
And that was when he tried to, like, decapitate a dude and miss the dunk. Like, you've got to also force the issue there, too, dude.
Yeah, he scored 0 points in the fourth quarter, Ant did.
I mean, honestly, I think that's the, I think we're blowing this out of proportion a little bit of the foul hunting from SGI. If you want to argue the other side, like Chris Finch has been doing all playoffs, I'm okay with that. If you want to argue there's too much fouling going on by the Oklahoma City defense that's not getting called, right. I actually think that's more of a thing, because there is a very fine line, as we all know, between good defense in the NBA, especially on the perimeter, and some hand swatting fouling that's going on there that's just getting ignored.
Yeah, so I think there's two things, right? First off, the comp has been made, and I agree with it. The Thunder are playing like the old Seahawks Legion of Boom, right? The Legion of Boom would commit holding on every play, and they would essentially dare the refs,
dare them,
call it every time, bro. And unless it was absolutely egregious, the refs would kind of let it go. Doesn't take away from the greatness of the Seahawks, but they would push that envelope there. I think the other talk about officiating, which I don't know if we're talking about enough, what annoys me watching that yesterday, for two rounds in a million playoff games, you let these dudes play rugby, right?
Right.
And then in game one of the Western Conference Finals, we're calling it like a regular season game almost. And that, to me, I think is the bigger issue. You've let these guys go through such physical play through the first two rounds, and they're probably expecting that they can do what they were doing through the first two rounds. And then all of a sudden, it's like foul, 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 foul.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I think is a bigger issue. It's got to be consistent with the way that you have called it throughout this postseason.
Side note, Brandon Browner of the Legion of Doom, in jail for a very long time. I did not know that either till the other day.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Knicks and Pacers tonight, 4.5-point spread. Any play on game one? Any play on the series?
No, so I bet the series over 5.5 games at minus 165. I thought that was a fair way to do it. I think Knicks in seven was, in the article I wrote, that was the angle that I took for a pick. But the actual bet, I think we're going to have a long series. The key word that I use for the series overall is sustainability. If you look at the shot quality metrics, if you look at the shooting, if you look at all of these things for Indiana, it would scream to you that they can't keep doing this, right? The Breaking Bad, he can't keep getting away with this. But postseasons are inherently a very small sample size, so maybe they can. Like, maybe they can just continue to shoot out of their gourds. Nembhard, 29% in three-point range, shooting 50% of the postseason, all those sort of things. I don't think, though, that's really going to work. I think their bench scoring is good enough and deep enough and better than what New York has, that ultimately is going to help extend this series out. But my best bet for the series was over 5.5 games.
Over 5.5
yes,
games.
Yes, over 5.5 games, minus 165.
Minus 165.
Yeah. What do you see, JVT, biggest single advantage one team has over the other in this series?
I think it's going to be bench scoring for Indiana, and I think it's talent for New York. As much as that is hard to quantify, they are a much more talented team.
Yeah, I think you've heard a lot about Karl Anthony Towns needing, should have a big series. Yeah. I agree with that. I just question the consistency with him.
Yep.
The pace that the Pacers have, no pun intended, isn't going to bother the Knicks?
I don't know, because I also thought this is the finals. Like, by the time we get to the end of the series, that might slow down considerably.
Yeah. Okay. JVT, everybody. He'll be on Money Moves about an hour, 20 minutes from now with Stormy. Check it out right here at VSiN. Jason Weingarten on the other side. Coming right back.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smart wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets Podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or get in on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. We invite you to check that out. By the way, Steve Cohen, who runs things around here, was reminding us yesterday, and I think appropriately so, because we always say at the top of every hour, we're like, hey, you can check us out on, you know, Game Plus, VSiN.com,
YouTube TV,
SiriusXM Channel 158. But most, I don't know most people, but we have a large portion of our audience that watches us not in real time. And for that, you can go to multiple places. You can go to the VSiN Watch app, for instance. Easy to call up not just that day's show, but shows from days past for every show, by the way, on the network. And then personally, every show has its own podcast. We have an ANG podcast. Yep. We never talk about that. My bad.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. You're right. I know we have a large part of you guys that listen to us on replay. So, yeah, it's VSiN.com. We're even doing some new stuff there with the video. I know we're taking the time to take the commercial breaks out for you guys. So you could just watch it commercial free. So that's kind of new. The podcast, Long Shots is up, by the way, two podcasts for the week. Check that out. Matt and Wes did a great job yesterday. I took a week off.
You mean you don't have to hear the guy with the grovelly voice who doesn't want to be a lawyer or let you know that he might sound like a lawyer, but he isn't one? Have you heard that commercial?
Yeah.
That guy really doesn't want you to think he's a lawyer. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Folks should know also. Savannah in our ear.
I was crying while you were doing that read.
Savannah, what is Savannah's title here?
Technical director.
Empress of operations here on A Numbers Game?
Technical director / Empress of operations.
Savannah Banana says in my ear, she goes, well, we don't have Jason yet, so you might have to tap dance. To which Kelly and I then decided maybe literally we should have Kelly tap dance during the breaks while you guys wait for Jason to show up.
There's a lot of dances that I could do, Gil. Like, me even attempting to try to fake the moves of a tap dance, I don't even know where I'd start.
Just worried you're going to tear your calf muscle again.
I refuse. Hey, I would do it, but I need a top hat and a cane.
Yes,
I refuse to do it without a top hat and a cane.
All right, Savannah, top hat and cane. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Shades of Mako. I feel like in my recollection of high school football, I remember not being able to directly push offensive players without blocking a defender. Changes the game a bit, certainly, but players should have the same experience playing without the push. This is from our buddy Eric Biggio over at William Hill Caesars. Eric says a couple things for you guys. One, talking about our whole our journalism talk yesterday, not actual journalism, but the horse journalism during the Preakness. And I said out loud, imagine if you could bet journalism in race right at the moment that it was getting bumped by the other horses.
Oh,
what would its price be?
Yeah.
And he says that at Betfair on Saturday, you actually could have done that. Like the price is flashing up on the screen. And journalism hit $58.13 in play right at the bump.
That is wild. Felix, who watches our show all the time, he emailed me yesterday about places having in-running horse race.
Well, and they're flashing up. So he sent me the video of from that $58.13 mark, watching journalism's price just go down the rest of the stretch. Is amazing. And then number two, he says about three-inning derivative bets. They do have that at Caesars William Hill, as well as a bunch of other derivative markets. So thank you, Eric Biggio. I did not know that. I was betting three innings at a little off the grid kind of place, if you know what I mean. Roger Jones, Bracco wins. Well, he says 1-2. I don't know what he says here. I think the NFL should be very careful. This is an interesting point. He says, I think the NFL should be very careful in allowing the tush push to continue. How long is it till someone says, forget about paying a quarterback $50 million. Let's have 10 linemen and a running back and scrum every play if that is successful versus these small defensive players. Interesting. Brosek 1870, pushing players forward was illegal from 1906 to 2006, 100 years. I think we can live in a world without the tush push, he says. Tom F., as an Eagle fan, ban the push. I'm tired of people crying about it. Then we can go back to the aesthetically pleasing regular quarterback sneak. And then Brian M., if the NFL does ban the tush push, will it be reviewable? Oh, that's a great question. Pretty clear if a guy's pushing the ball carrier or not. That's right. Could you go to replay and say, sorry, Eagles, you pushed a player. Doesn't count.
Man.
Interesting.
Well, it would fall under that whole reviewing a penalty thing, right? So you couldn't, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to speculate on that. Yeah, let's see.
Yeah. Jesse Welch, the race to the wiener circle. Ha ha ha. I see what you did there. And pick 10. Think Eagles still sneak 8 to 10 touchdowns by Hurts next year. They'll make a point of scheming a way to plow it in anyway. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke. It's Jason Weingarten now. As we worked out the technical difficulties. How you doing, Jason? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening?
Not much. It's I don't know.
You are. Let me
Wednesday.
Just say.
Let's get ready.
Let's add to the Jason Weingarten things on your mind. The things that Jason has loved here in the last month. The Shedeur Sanders slide. He was obsessed with that in the draft. Bill Belichick and the young lady. Are they engaged? Are they not? That kind of thing. There was a third one.
Story's not over there yet.
Yeah, story's not over there.
Over.
It's not over there. There was a third one you were obsessed with. I can't remember what that is now off the top of my head. But this one, the flag football being allowed in the Olympics. You are pro flag football, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a line of NFL players out the door, you know, wanting to represent the United States in the inaugural Olympic flag football event. This is going to be very entertaining to watch. I don't see any way the U.S. is not the favorite to win a gold medal at flag football. I mean, we're going to send an NFL team, even if we send the seventh string, you know, best players we have, whatever. They're going to dominate this. It'll be fun to watch. I'm personally incredibly excited for the Olympics coming to LA. I'll be at as many events as I can go to. So, can't wait.
Yeah, last Olympics in LA, 1984, which was a big deal at the time for sure. Okay, what did you bet in baseball today, sir?
Two plays for me today. One this morning. I got the Marlins plus 125 against the Cubs with Max Meyer on the mound, and I got Logan Webb and the Giants minus 202 versus the Royals. I bet him last week. Betting him this week. I think Logan Webb has an outside shot at the National League Cy Young still right now.
Let's flash up the May updated May wins total. By the way, Padres lose again yesterday. 0-3 with runners in scoring position. They get blanked by the Blue Jays 3-0. The Padres are one of these teams. I think the Twins called the Padres, Kelly, and they were like, hey, look, this guy has a bet on you guys for most wins in May, so why don't you guys stink it up for a while and then get good the next month? That's what we did.
This is brutal to watch,
this
man.
This is brutal.
Jeez.
I mean, the Padres
updated every day.
Padres
too.
Aren't even on the screen anymore. Twins 13-3, Tigers 13-5, Cardinals 13-5, Phillies 13-5 as the Twins get rained out again yesterday. But remember, at Circa, if you have the Twins, you would win on a fewest wins tiebreaker. That would be the first tiebreaker. My question to you is the same that I asked of Borchard yesterday or Spore the day before, which is of these teams here that are doing so well in May, and I want to specifically target the Twins and Cardinals as the two teams that were less likely to do this than were the Tigers and Phillies. Which is the most sustainable between the Twins and the Cardinals? Do you think either team is for real?
Man, Twins was not the team I expected to see up there. They were actually the next team on my list today with Chris Paddock as the bet I almost made that just didn't get there. But I've been interested in Chris Paddock. He was a guy I liked as a rookie a couple of years ago. He pitched 7 innings in his last 2 starts. So I actually had it on my list of games to watch today to keep an eye on Paddock and see how he's pitching. But the Twins, they were left for dead pretty early in the season. So to see them 13-3, I'm actually pretty impressed. They're bouncing back so quickly. I don't know if it's sustainable, but I don't know. I think the Twins, they've definitely shown me a little something. I'm going to have to watch them a little closer this next week. I'm not going to say they're in a much better position than they were a week or two ago. I think the Cardinals are the most unsustainable, though.
They've just
been winning everything. And, yeah. I don't necessarily buy them.
By the way, you know what we never show at the bottom of this for May? Rockies 3-14 with a minus 70 run differential this month already.
That's not ideal.
Orioles 3-14 with a minus 40 run differential, so they have the same record. And then it's the Pirates at 4-14 with a minus 34. All of that is sustainable, right? Like they all just stink.
Well, I mean, I don't expect to see Baltimore there, so that's a little weird. And I think the Pirates have kind of come to the conclusion that they only matter once every 5 games when Paul Skenes is on the mound. The rest of the time, they are basically irrelevant at this point in their their cycle. But
yeah,
it's tough. I'm really surprised the Orioles are still down there. That was a team I got wrong. I clearly got wrong the Rockies being able to win 50-something games, but the Orioles I did not see coming. That's I still think there's time for them to turn it around, but it's quickly looking like they have messed up this season.
Dan Groeschel. Gil can't remember the other thing Jason was obsessed with recently. I too wish I could black out and get back all the time spent listening to the 100 men versus a gorilla debate. Yes, that was it. Thank you, Jason.
That was probably it. Yes, thank you.
Fezzik.
Thank you for having me. Good luck.